child of God, as your children, Father, as people that have made that decision at some point in life to commit our life unto Jesus Christ, people that have said, Lord, you are my Savior, and you're my Lord, you're my Redeemer, you're everything to me. And Father, I thank you that from that point in our life that you're now working out this detail. We call it salvation, Lord, this endless life that we now live in your presence, Father, with you inside of us. And Father, as we yield ourselves to you this morning, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and minds. I pray that as we open ourselves up and begin to see what is special to you, as we begin to see what moves your heart, as we begin to yield ourselves to that, Lord, that it will transform our life from the inside out. We won't do things out of works or, you know, these efforts trying to earn your love, but we'll do it because we are loved by you, because we are so special to you. And Father, we thank you for that. Just open your scriptures this morning, Lord, to penetrate our ears and help us to really take it in, to engraft it into our life, and to let it then begin to change and bring about that godliness, that Christ-likeness, the God-centeredness, the Son-centeredness that you've called each one of us to. Father, we praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So my mic was kind of going up and down. I don't know if that's a battery issue or if my son was messing with it back there, but we'll find out here in a minute. As we get into counting the cost, it's really... It's more of a message where it has a lot to do with addressing the devotion of our heart, our commitment of our heart unto God, and the devotion and commitment of God's people. So I asked the Lord the other day, and I do this on a regular basis, but I remember this particular moment out at the Ford at Fort Steele, and kind of way out in the boondocks, so there's no cell service out there, anything else, it's just kind of you and God. And sometimes I take those opportunities as a good time just to talk to God, to find out what's on his heart. And I asked him, I said, Lord God, what message, what do you want to say to your people? Okay, not something that has stirred inside of me or, you know, an emotion or something that I want to feel like the body of Christ needs. But I asked him literally, what do you want to say to your people through me on Sunday? And the Holy Spirit began to speak something to my spirit about the level of engagement of God's people that we have with him. Okay, and that has to do with our commitment, our devotion. You know, our society has made it very easy for God's people to draw from, to listen to, and to follow every voice but his. Okay, the world will make it easy to follow, to hear, to listen somebody else's voice, the voice of the enemy, the voice of our flesh, the voice of a well-intentioned friend. He is continually speaking to us, but his guidance is often drowned out by the busyness, drowned out by the clutter in our minds, or by the chaos of just everyday life. And I believe because of that, that his people then are missing out on some of the best blessings. Because, you know, God created you in his image. He wants to bless you abundantly above all that you could ask or think. But how do we get to that point where we're living and sort of reveling in this anointing of God, where we're reveling in and walking according to this power and the blessing of God, and we live with an understanding with, I call it a deep awareness of the spiritual realm that we're living in. Okay, well, we're not caught up in other stuff. In other words, it would be, how do we get to the point where we're seeing things for the way that they really are in the spirit instead of being tossed around by the whims of our flesh or by the schemes of the devil? Because he is constantly at work. And I think the word that the Lord was given even this morning as we were worshiping has to do with, you know, when we feel like we're on track and yet everything starts going wrong, we have to be able to see that for what it really is. It's something that is bigger than just what we can see with the natural eye. You know, I got an answer from the Lord on this message that it had to do with how we getting there has to do with the level of our commitment to him. Okay, how committed are we to him? And how committed are we to a desire to please him more than pleasing people? Okay, because our interactions with people will tell us a lot, but it's truly our interaction with God that is going to be pleasing unto Him. Okay, God watches everything. He knows how we interact with one another and the things that happen, but it's our relationship with Him that has got to be paramount. You know, Jesus didn't hold back when it came to letting people know what it would be like to follow Him or what it would cost you to follow Him. We're talking about counting the cost of being a believer. Jesus didn't deceive people into following Him by making it sound like it was kind of cheap and easy and then just upping the price once we came into the kingdom, that all of a sudden you're in, I got you, now it's going to be really hard. Now you're going to suffer persecution. Now you're going to have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Now you're going to have to deal with the forces of the enemy really coming at you. Yeah, you know, I got hooked into somebody's money-making scheme the other day. I saw a link for discipleship podcast, and that's something in my personal life I'm pursuing as being a disciple myself, understanding what that means, but then also how to lead others into being disciple makers. And so I saw this podcast, one of my pastor groups I'm on Facebook, and I saw this link and I thought, that's it. I mean, I've been praying, I've been seeking, maybe this is my answer. And I click on it, and took me to a podcast, and I started listening to it, and it was like episode one or whatever, and I thought, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And so I'm going through it, and about two-thirds of the way through the podcast, all of a sudden it stops, and an ad pops up and says, if you want to finish the podcast, you must sign in and pay $17 a month to get the rest of it. Okay, and to get the rest of them. Okay, now, at that point, I'm thinking, this was a pretty good podcast. I'd kind of like to find out what the rest of that last 10 minutes said, because he was getting to the good stuff. But rather than do that, I clicked the little X and get out of it, because I do not like being scammed like that. To me, it's not a scam necessarily, but to me, that is, it is bumping something up. It is something that, for me, I would click the X. It's like a hot rock. I'm going to drop that because I don't like being deceived. Okay, if you wanted me to pay $17 to see the whole podcast, tell me in the first sentence and I will decide right then and there what I'm going to do. Okay, but don't get me into it and then try to pull that one-up stuff. Okay, well, Jesus did not deceive anyone. Okay, He told us up front that it was going to cost us dearly to follow Him. And I'll show you some scriptures this morning. And anybody that follows along in your own Bible, I know many of you read the screen, and that's fine. But I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible. So if you're reading out of a King James or something, it'll bother you. You'll be like, wait a minute, not lining up. But let's read some scriptures in Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 26. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not persevere and carry his own cross and come after or follow me, Jesus says, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, wishing to build a farm building, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see whether he has sufficient means to finish it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is unable to complete the building, all who see it will begin to mock and jeer at him, saying, this man began to build but was not able or worth enough to finish. Or what king goeth out to engage in conflict with another king and will not sit down and consider and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes at him with 20,000? And if he cannot do so, when the other king is still a great way off, he sends an envoy and asks the terms of peace. And verse 33 says, so then, any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender claim to, give up, say goodbye to all that he has, cannot be my disciple. And now listen to that last verse right there again, verse 33. He says, so then, any of you, okay, all inclusive, any of you who does not forsake, okay, renounce, surrender claim to, give up, say goodbye to all that he has, cannot be my disciple. That's a pretty powerful statement by the Lord. That was a statement that meant this isn't just a quick fix. This isn't just a try this, see if it works. This is an all-in commitment, something that he is asking of you. And now he is most likely not going to ask you to turn your back on your family, okay, or your business, or your job, or your hobbies, or your relationships, but he certainly wants you to be willing to do that, to live with an attitude day in and day out of a willingness to leave it all behind, because he is that important. He is the Savior. He is my Lord. And everything else comes second. Everything else comes behind that. You know, I went to a conference when I was a young Christian. It was down in Denver. They called it the Orchard Road Christian Center. And I believe it was Marilyn Hickey's church. And she had a conference every year about this time of year, the Labor Day weekend. And I went down with some friends, and I remember sitting in the conference. It was like the Friday night of that. It was a three-dayer, and it was like the Friday night. And I'm sitting in the conference, and the speaker, I believe it was Marilyn Hickey that was speaking that night, and she was talking about our devotion to Christ and our commitment to him and how to draw from that and those kind of things. And at one point in the message, she stopped, and she said, turn to your neighbor and ask them, what has the gospel of Jesus Christ cost you? Well, the lady that was sitting closest to me, it wasn't packed that night, so there wasn't anybody like real close on my right or my left, but the lady that was sitting directly behind me was probably the closest one to me. And this was one of those people, you could tell by looking at her that she was on fire for Jesus. This lady loved the Lord. It emanated through her. She had this glow about her of the anointing of Christ that you could see it from a mile away. She just gleamed. It just emanated from her. So she looks at me and she says, hey, what has the gospel cost you? And now I had only been a Christian for probably 3 or 4 years at that point, and so I had a lot to learn yet. And my response expressed just that. I looked at her and I said, nothing. The gospel is free. I remember her response because her eyes got big. She looked at me and she said, oh, it's just the opposite for me. Believing in the gospel has cost me everything. At that moment, I began to put the two things together that maybe understanding what the gospel cost us and being on fire for Jesus might be related. Okay, now the speaker went on, the preacher went on to teach about our commitment to Jesus and being all in. And I took a lot of notes, I remember that night, and I tried to take it all to heart. I tried to take in as much as I could. But I pondered on that lady's answer for years. Over time, the Lord began to show me some things in the scriptures. He began to show me about laying my life down and taking up the cross, okay, counting the cost of following Jesus and accepting that cost. He has called us to give up everything. That's what that verse says. He called us to give up everything for him. And in return, we will receive back so much more than we ever let go of. It's like it's this, I don't know if it's the right word, but an oxymoron, where you're told to give things up, but it doesn't cost you. In the end, you end up with more than you gave up, right? That's what I see this. It was at that point in my life when I wrote down this statement in the back of my Bible. It has been there. I've transferred it from Bible to Bible over the years. But I wrote this statement that says, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ, and I am entirely dependent on God. I am obsessed with Jesus Christ, and I am totally dependent on God. I lay down my life today and take up the cross. I am truly hungry for God. Now, this is what I gathered from that conversation, that brief conversation from this woman, that this is the attitude that gets you there. This is what gets that glow. This is what gets that anointing all the time, is being completely dependent on God. It's about laying down my life and everything I stand for and taking up that cross and causing from that then to be hungry for God all the time. You know, if you look at some of the people in scriptures, you can get a feel for the sincerity of their understanding that following Jesus is not just good for you. Okay? It's not something that might just improve a few areas of your life or get you through a tough time. Following Jesus is, it means that you have sold out every other option in life. That you have given up every other possible direction for your life and determined to put Jesus first for all of your days. He has now become number one. Think about the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. Okay, some of you remember the story. We're going to read this in Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 3. It says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he, Jesus, sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Think of this woman. Here's a woman that has an alabaster box of ointment, as the King James calls it. That's something that today we would think of as like a big jar of perfume. Okay, this was, in her mind, the fragrance of her life. If it wasn't who she was, it's who she wanted to be. You understand that? This was the good stuff. Okay, this is something that to her, it represented everything that she was and everything that she stood for. And that's why she wanted to give that to Jesus. It was her most valuable and prized possession. Okay, it was extremely valuable. In the natural sense, it was the good stuff. It was the pure spike. Okay, if you look it up, it was the good stuff. It was very costly, very precious. It said that they referenced 300 pence. Why wasn't it sold for that? That was an annual salary for the average worker. 300 pence. That was a lot. And she just took that jar and she broke the sealed jar wide open. In other words, she wasn't being stingy with it just because it was considered precious. It was just the opposite. She didn't want to just use a little bit on Jesus. Here, take some of this good stuff. She wanted him to have the whole thing. She broke it in a manner that was not going to be put away. It was like, this is all going for you. Did you notice, though, that there were some who got upset about it? Okay, there were some that were offended by her actions because they were things that they never would have done. Imagine somebody giving their best to Jesus and somebody else standing there saying, I would have never done that. Maybe give him a little, maybe just a touch of it, But use that and use the money to do good, okay, to help the poor. We could have used that money for something else. Can you imagine that scene in Jesus' heart, in Jesus' mind? He's seeing this unfold. And he begins to actually rebuke those other guys because of their attitude. Okay, if we read on in this passage, we would see that Jesus did rebuke those guys. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, "Why are you troubling this woman with your negative attitude? She has done a good and beautiful and wonderful thing to me. She has blessed me with the best that she had." He went on to say, "Surely I tell you that wherever the good news or the gospel is preached in the entire world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Okay, do you know why those other guys got so upset at that woman? It's because their hearts were not right with God. Their priorities were not right. They were not willing to give it all up for Jesus. The love of money was still a thing for them. They wanted fame. They wanted fortune. They wanted high esteem that they could say they sat at a table with Christ. They wanted those kind of things, but Jesus put them right in their place when he says, "This woman, the one that you guys are ridiculing, she got it right. She did the right thing, and she's going to be famous for it." She not only gave Jesus her life, but she gave him her most precious and valuable possession. You know, that's not easy to do. Think about it. What's something that you value very, very highly? Might be a possession, might be a car, a boat, a whatever. It might be your family. Might be your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. That might be the most precious and valuable thing in your life. So now think about it. How easy is it to just give that up for Jesus? This woman expressed the epitome of what Jesus is seeking, that saying, "This is worth 50 grand, but I'm giving it all to you. Okay, this is my family, this is my loved one, but I'm giving it all to you." It expressed exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. It's not easy to give your most precious and valuable possession to Jesus unless you realize that adhering to the gospel will cost you everything, but yet you know that it's worth it. You know that the end result will be the best. And now you can look around our world and see pretty quickly that not everybody follows Jesus, right? There's some pretty silly stuff, and silly is a very nice word, that goes on in our country and in our world. It used to be, though, more prevalent when you would run into another Christian, somebody maybe from a different church, or maybe even somebody from a different state, somebody that you run into in the grocery store, and you could instantly tell that they were a Christian. They had this glow about them that you knew that their life was about Jesus. You could tell that they were a believer. It seems like Christians today in our world, we have so many selfish people in these days that it's far less often when we encounter those kinds of people. We have those experiences that we just instantly connect because we know that they're a believer. Now, I truly want myself to be that kind of a person, but I want to try to raise up a church of full of those kind of people. That everywhere that we go, that we are glorifying the name of the Lord. Our light is shining and He is exalted. Okay, these are the people that light up a room when they walk in. Not because they're some great charismatic person and they're going to bounce around like a butterfly, but that when they walk in, you feel the anointing of the Lord. You sense that this person has been with Jesus. You understand that when they came through the door, it's okay to get a little bit excited that things are going to be okay. Things are going to work out for the best. Okay, people will know that their day just got a little bit brighter because you just walked through with that glow and that anointing of Jesus. Okay, the people that shine like this are not just supposed to be the preachers or the Bible college students or those that are in the Word day in and day out just as a school. These are the ones that have counted the cost and have chosen to lay it all down as payment to have more of Jesus. Whatever it costs, doesn't matter. I want more of Jesus. Look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides it, and for joy, the joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, it's about selling out for Jesus. Realizing that nothing is as valuable in your life as He is. Your time in the Word of God, reading, praying, studying, your time in worship, exalting Him, your time in church or in fellowship with other Christian believers is not wasted time, ever. It is something that is so valuable to glorify God through your life that He has set these things up in our midst that we can pray and worship and go to church and learn and grow and fellowship and do these things together. These are things that are precious and exceedingly valuable. It is things that are worth selling everything that you have to own more of that. It comes down to laying down your life as an offering before God. In John chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus said, "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Again, in Matthew 19:29, he tells us about the bonus. Here's the kicker when we do this. He says, "Everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." So my advice to you today is to pursue Jesus like your life depends on it. Hey, don't have just a little piece of Him in your life and be satisfied with that. Lay it all down and see how far He will take you. Make more of Him your goal and see where you end up. I promise you it's going to be good. It's going to be a good and better place. This morning I'd like to end with a song. It's a song that it spoke to me deeply when I listened to it, especially it gets to the end. It has to do with what moves God's heart. What is important to Him? And you're going to find out that it's you and your life. That's what's important to Him. We're going to play this. It's by Maverick City Music is who sings this rendition of it.